You're listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network, featuring unconference sessions and other related discussions from around the Southeast.
So I'm Mark Giuliano. I'm a senior vice president with a company called TalkShoe that you'll hear about. I'm also a podcaster. I've done many podcasts, but the two I mostly do is one is a one on traveling to Italy, and I talk about my sort of adventures in Italy and tips and tricks and how to speak Italian and stories and all that sort of thing. And I've been doing that for a while. I get probably about 3,000-4,000 people a week kind of thing, so it's modest. And then recently, which I'm more excited about, I'm also an adjunct professor at Carnegie Mellon University, and I teach a live class like this, but also separately, I make a podcast out of my course, and I put it online, and even though the private students are paying whatever for the course, the rest is open to the internet. And I've certainly had, you know, professors ask me, you know, what are you doing? You know, you're giving away your intellectual property. I'm like, yeah, well, that's the point. That's why I'm an adjunct professor, is I wanted to reach students. And that's grown to about 1,000 people in 5 weeks. So that's been pretty exciting. In fact, I just last week crossed the boundary where I've now, quote, taught more people on, with a podcast than I have in all my years of teaching combined. So that really makes me feel, you know, kind of good that I'm reaching out to the next level. I teach a course on entrepreneurship and business planning. I've been an entrepreneur for, you know, 20 years, and I also do a high-tech marketing class, not on the internet now. I'll do that probably next semester. Ours is, we don't put, you know, the employee stuff on our website, but if you go to our website and search for my last name or search for entrepreneurship or go to iTunes or a bunch of other directories, you should be able to find it. Okay, so live interactive podcasting. And the first thing some people say is, you know, how'd you put those three words together and, you know, right next to each other? They seem a little bit of like an oxymoron because a podcast, by definition, quote, is a recorded piece of audio video that gets subscribed to and sent automatically and all the things we know about podcasting. But this term sort of hit home with people who wanted to do different things. One is, and the biggest thing we've had people say to us, and I should say, we have in the neighborhood of 12,000 people using our system right now, both talkers and hosts. So you'll see the difference between what a talker is, somebody who's on the show, versus the host of a show. But there's in the neighborhood of about 12,000 people. And the main thing people said was they wanted to connect with their audience. A lot of podcasters said, I got an audience, but I don't really know who they are. I mean, they send me emails, which is great, but I'd like to be able to connect with them live and talk to them and chat with them. And there's other ways to do it, but you know, we sort of built the system to do it. The other thing they wanted was an alternative format. And one of the things I'll do today is talk about a case study of Leo Laporte and Twit TV, who uses our software. And they wanted to change their format. They were doing a typical podcast, and they wanted to make it an interactive audience participation podcast. So that's another reason. Evergreen content is a third reason. That hit home for me. When I did my Italy podcast, it was probably about episode like 30, 35, and I was sort of saying, okay, that's all I know. I don't know anymore, and I wasn't going about to read books on Italy and try to be a travel guy who's, you know, learning from travel books. So I started to invite people to come on the show to see their travels to Italy, or I had a travel agent come on to talk about, she was a travel consultant. I had a guy from England who'd been to Naples, and I'd never been to Naples. So it sort of kept my podcast alive in making this. Other people obviously have new ideas. And it just obviously connects people with common interests. And we do have some people who hang out. There was a guy named Tommy. We call him Tommy TalkShoe. And he came on with Leo Laporte. And the first day of after he heard his show, he was on our system for 18 hours. And after a few days, we, of course, noticed who this guy was. Somebody's on our system, like, all the time. So we hired him. And he's one of our tech support people. But anybody with that much enthusiasm is somebody you want to hire. Okay, so the basic concept of live interactive podcasting is...
You have a typical host. This is a plain old podcast host. So you're going to get online. You're going to get online a number of different ways. You're going to get on using Skype. You're going to get on using our virtual IP, which is now, we just come out with an automatic connection.
Kathy Shields. So is it, I mean, when with Skype, you can do a conference, you know, with 10 people. How does this work? What? Okay.
That's the basic concept. This is
excuse me, Mark. I just wanted to say that that see who's talking indication. Oh, if you have a question or comment, please call over the mic because this is being recorded for historical posterity and it's being broadcast podcast to the World Wide Web. So identify yourself, introduce yourself. You can even state your web address to promote your own business.
Thank you, John. It's Kathy again. I have a question. Kind of, you know, when you're using something like Illuminate Live and you see the list of participants and you can raise your hand to participate, is there a moderator for this conversation?
Yes, the moderator is the top person. So there are basically two screens. One is the moderator host screen and the other is the talker listener screen. They look incredibly alike, except on one there's a bunch more buttons. And let me talk exactly to that. So these people are online and there's two indicators here. One is a phone, which says they are on the phone or on Skype or Gizmo or whatever. Their voice is here. The computer icon says they're on the chat room. And the chat room is, you know, next to their name, they can enter chat. And it's pretty straightforward. We do a sort of different chat as horizontal because the people, we want to put it next to their name. Now, we're going to come out with an action to use horizontal so everyone's vertical. And as soon as you're vertical, I guarantee people will say, can I go back horizontal? So we'll offer both. But the key is to go over the controls that the moderator has. So the first thing they can do is they can mute chat. They can mute chat selectively or all at the same time. You can say mute all, which is a very common thing to do at the beginning of the show. Mute all, here I am, this is what I do, this is what the show's about. Now I'll unmute people selectively. You can see any individual person. They don't have to raise their hand. If you know who the guests are, you can unmute them. Now, if they do want to raise their hand, so this person here is muted and says, well, wait a minute, I want to say something. They raise their hand with a request to talk button, and this person I can use, that's number 7 in the queue. You don't have to pull them off the queue in the same order. You can just steal up to them, you can say, oh, 7, oh. Just call prank callers. Whatever the topic goes, okay, and this verb is called prank callers, what do you have to say? Can you unmute or mute them? The other thing you can do is the chat itself. So this one can do a line all the way across a tension. So you can kill a person's chat. If somebody's saying things that you really think are being offensive,
Okay, Kathy again. I have two questions. One has to do with the recording. Is it recording both the chat and the voice? The second question is having to do with more of a technical issue in terms of when you're using your headset or desktop mic, does it matter, USB or analog? And does this help you do your audio settings?
As I said, you know, we can handle up to 250 people. We've had that many. It gets, frankly, a bit unruly by then, to be perfectly honest. But, you know, you have to have a limit. And, of course, whatever limit you set, some people say it's too low, some say it's too high. The average call, but somewhere between about 5 and 25 people. Nice and manageable, one screen. It kind of makes sense. So the other thing we do is kind of, particular person you're trying to say is an idiot. Okay, was there another question that I didn't answer?
Cheers. Hi, Patrick Ball, and my site is Ellie's Dad. What are you dialing into? Is it an 800 number or just a standard ILD, or what, you know, where are you dialing when you come into this solution?
So the question is, you know, what phone are you calling, basically? And if you're on the phone part of it, you're calling a regular number. Okay, so the person calling is paying whatever they pay. If they're at home and they have one of these fixed long distance plans, they're not paying anything. If they're on their cell phone with nights and weekends, they're not paying anything. If they're on a call that is charging, they're paying for that call. That's certainly the one thing we couldn't pay for. It would kill us. An 800 number is about 8 cents a minute. So you'd have to pay 8 cents a minute times all the people on the call for, say, an hour. It adds up. So that is the case. Now, what you can do then alternatively is use voice over IP. So if you're using Skype, you're going to use Skype out and whatever plan you're on Skype out. I think it's like $30 a year now, something like that for Skype out. If you're on the sort of SJ phone, Gizmo, those kind of clients, you have an IP address that you're calling, and it's going into the same hardware, but there's no cost for that. Okay, and then we'll have our IP client, which we did just because it's going to be easier and quicker than the regular. We have a lot of people. The problem with IP clients, there's a million settings, and to get them just right and to get the DTMF tones to work properly and everything else. So when you call in, you're basically entering the ID of this show. This show is 3185. You dial that, and then it would ask you for your PIN. And you have a personal PIN. And the reason for that is you're identifying yourself. So our software has to tie Randy to his phone. So that's why everybody needs a personal PIN. Now, if you're just listening, you don't need anything. You're just streaming like it's radio. So it depends on how you're accessing the system. All this is coming into a hardware bridge. This is important. The reason we can handle so many people is a hardware bridge is something that's in a telephone company. So we've partnered with a telephone company. They have hardware, redundant power supplies, and all this sort of stuff. And there's phone cards into this hardware bridge, and there's voice over IP cards into the hardware bridge. So it's not one of these soft bridges that, frankly, when you see people who say they can only do like 5 people on a conference, it's a soft bridge. Try putting 100 people on a soft conference. It doesn't work. This system, we have a current capacity of about 800 people, but that's just a hardware issue. We just haven't bought the next card because we don't need it yet. The system ultimately can go up to 10,000 callers, and that's been trialed by the company we work with called Compunetics.
I have a question, Kent Lester. You said that right now the current capacity is about 200 people, but I'm assuming that is in the interactive chat.
Yeah,
is there any limit to the number of people who can get online and just listen to the stream?
So about 10,000 right now.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's not a problem. The most we've had has been in the neighborhood of 600 or 700. That's just empirically the biggest we've had. The real issue is, you got something going on here, which is, okay, I want to listen live. Well, what are you doing when you're listening live? Well, I'm listening to the radio. Well, you could listen to the podcast a half hour after the show. So you get people who say, well, I'm not available this second, but I am available 2 hours from now. So on a show like Leo's, you'll still see people come in and, like I said, 500, 600, but then over the next like 5 hours, you'll get at least that many more. We'll download it quickly because they just couldn't make the show. So that's sort of nice as you have the recording.
It doesn't go up on the main.
Correct. And I'll talk about what Leo does specifically.
For just a second, if we could go back to the chat. One of my questions was, is there a way to record the chat? And then I thought of another. Can you drop in a live link?
Live link meaning?
So if someone wanted to say, oh, well, you should check out this website because it has to do with our topic, put it in the chat and other chatters can click on it and go there.
Right. So do you want a job in product management? Because that's definitely one of the questions we've gotten. We are working on the idea of, you can enter the URL, you just can't go to it. And we're like, hey, that's a good idea. So, that's why we say we're always in beta, probably be in beta forever, because there's always new ideas that come up. As far as the chat, right now we record the chat, but you cannot get it unless you just sort of ask, can I get a dump of the chat? Right. There's not like a transcript, if you will. What we want to do in the future is literally run a movie, in a sense, and do the live chat as the live voice is playing. That's pretty sophisticated, to pop up chats like 3 hours later, as if it were happening live. But that's not trivial software. But if somebody really wanted the text, they could get it. Now, frankly, the easier way to get the text for the voice is, of course, get some kind of a transcription service. But for the chat, we've got it, if you really wanted it.
Hey, Bobby Blackwolf, All Games Radio. We actually use 4 or 5 programs to do the same thing. But I was wondering about the callers, because a lot of times on some of our programs, we do video game programming. So we have video game developers. We call them, or they call us, do we need to set them up with like this PIN number and show number to have them call in? Or is there some easier way we can get them on by phone, either by calling them using this service or, you know, some other easier way to get them on if they don't want to be a part of the live chat or anything? Because right. Our chat room, our interactive chat room, they're pretty cynical. And we don't want them to see the chat room when they're on because right. They usually get slammed and we hide them from that. So, you know, how would we do that right. With guests?
So if guests? Somebody just wanted to get on and talk, basically.
Right.
There are a couple of different ways. One is they can come to our website, sign up, and just create their own PIN, and that's it. And just dial in. No software, no nothing. The second is what some people do with their guests is they create a number of guest accounts and they dole out the PIN numbers to the guest accounts. Only one per person, though. So you can't dole one PIN out for 20 people. It's different PIN because we want to identify if they were to come in. Right. And the third is, like Leo, for example, he bridges people in via Skype. He goes around the system and bridges them locally and then patches them into the call.
Okay.
So there's different ways to do it. This is a really complex diagram that I did last night, and I don't like it, but I can't figure out how else to make it simple. All kinds of statistics. Basically, every week we track how many downloads, how many hours cumulative, how many hours this week, you know, all that sort of thing. And those stats we use to pay people because the advertising, we're splitting the ad revenues with us and with the podcaster. Okay, so there's no cost. In fact, it's the reverse of no cost. It's you make money off of this. And we have people making quite a bit. Last month, somebody made $2,000, and the average person's making, you know, 100 or so per month.
Kent Lester, quick question. On the software page where you have the little chat room going, is there any space anywhere in that window or any way that we as a podcaster could have a small area to feature perhaps the person's picture that's being interviewed or a little blurb of information?
Not at this time. You'd have to have a separate web page open to do that. So the question is, can you basically put other stuff? And that would be in a separate window. We don't have that right now. Okay, so the case study for Leah Laporte and Amber MacArthur is in their Twit TV network. They had a show called Inside the Net. As Leah would tell the story, Amber said, we talked to Leo in June of last year, and he said, okay, this is nice, but I have no need for it. He called us back 2 months later, and he said, Amber wants to do a live show. And we said, okay. And we're going to do it this weekend on Sunday. And we said, okay. How many people are you going to expect? He said, I don't know. Thousands? I have no idea. So we were all, the whole company came in, which was 12 of us, and the chat room got a little slow. Our servers weren't quite ready to handle it. We also are very appreciative of it, not only because Leo dragged a lot of people with him, but it stressed the hell out of our system. And 5 weeks later, and it took us that long, we finally got to the point where we could handle 250 people on, plus all the streamers, plus people coming to the website and downloading the software. That was a bottleneck for a while. So you never know what your bottlenecks are going to be until somebody blasts your system. And then you fix them one by one. I mean, there's nothing you can do. But now we're in good shape until the next Bernie comes with 20,000 people.
Kathy, again, I just want to go back. I remembered a question I had about the statistics.
Oh.
Because I know on other services, they'll give you a certain level of statistics unless you're a paying customer, and then they'll bump it up and give you all the statistics. Do you have anything like that, any tiered level?
No, right now we give you the statistics by week, by podcast, not by episode. And we're coming out with by episode in this next software release, which will give you a lot of data. That'll tell you each week, each episode. I mean, if you have 40 episodes, this is a lot of information if you can figure out what to do with it. But no, there's no charge. We're basically doing this. The model for us as a business is the ad model. And working with people to help create their content, providing all the stuff that it takes to do it, and then sharing the revenues. That's the gig.
Patrick Wall again. You mentioned servers several times. Who are you using, and why did you pick them? I mean,
we in terms of our service provider, it's people you've never heard of. It's a company called North Pittsburgh, which is the local telephone company up in the northern part of Pittsburgh. They do all of our telco stuff. They have the conference bridge and all the redundant hardware and things like that. And then a company called Nauticom, which is their sister internet service provider, their ISP, is doing all the servers. They pay for the servers and the software and the bandwidth and all that goes with that. So it's all in a telco. Nothing is in our shop. It's all in a telco, which makes us feel a lot better. Okay, same kind of thing. So they switched the show. They kept it on their same feed. Okay, so that's important. They said, we've got our RSS feed. We want to leave it there. And then they also did something which was, the biggest show they got was 930 people in terms of talkers, chatters, and listeners or streamers. That's the biggest they've had so far. And Leo does something a little different than other people. Okay, so Leo's after sort of ultimate quality. That's one of his main things. Now, the quality you're getting so far is good. If you go through a voice over IP connection, you can get good quality phone quality. If you have, and there are, you can get headsets for the telephone. That's your best bet. And it's going to cost about $200 to get a headset and a little box that pipes through your phone line, basically, but gives you a nice quality mic. You don't have to have that, but if people get serious, we recommend that. Same thing with if you're using voice over IP, we'd certainly recommend you do a USB headset. And the next step is a mixer. And we have various mixers that we recommend. But Leo does something, again, a bit different. So he's up here in California. Amber's in Toronto. He catches her in either via Skype or sometimes in the conference room. They use both mechanisms. Okay, but he's, of course, here and everything. He's seeing the chat. Leo's seeing the chat. Everyone's seeing the chat. So this is happening live. The talkers are all over here.
If that's the case, then you're not able to drop ads into his final feed.
That's correct. If you are taking the file, if you will, and doing your own ad thing on the side, we're getting cut out of that. But the way we look at it, look, you'll probably tell a friend, and then they'll use it and they will keep it on our system. But you're absolutely right. That could be the case. Most people say, well, but you're storing it for nothing, and I might as well keep it there too. I mean, if you get me some extra downloads, there's no downside to it. So that's what the typical person does if they have their own. Now, what some people are doing really is tying their RSS into our RSS. So you still come to their website, they find the podcast, they come into our site to drag the file over. Okay. Now they physically come to our website and listen. Later they'll have the player so that they can just listen right on the person's website.
If somebody listens to the Ginger Campbell, if somebody listens to the uncut version of Net at Night, do you put ads into it? So you do get a little bit.
Right.
Probably get a pretty good chunk from just that.
Yeah, we actually Leo gets about 1,000 a week on our service, and he gets about 50,000 on his. But believe me, I mean, Leo dragged about 150 hosts along with him, so we're more than appreciative. We do whatever Leo asks for because we keep him happy, and he's been a happy camper. They're still using it now for, I don't know, about 12 weeks, 13 weeks, maybe even longer than that.
Kent Lester, I can't help but look at this and say, you know, this could be useful for a whole lot of things besides just podcasting, like if you want to get a group of people together and discuss something. What's your position on just your customers use this sort of as a semi-private service to get a group of people together and strategize, like in a business environment?
Yeah, we have something that I haven't shown, and it wouldn't be on the website in terms of it's a private call. It is not a secure firewall call, but it is a private call that you need to be invited to join. Everything else looks the same, except it's nowhere on our website, so nobody can find it. So what we do is we have things like, we have a bank, and they do seminars on things like estate planning and such, and they invite their customers, and then they also let the recording out to the general internet. So they sort of record privately and move it over to the public. Now, we have about 20% of our calls-ish are private calls. Businesses, whatever. We don't really know what they're doing, to be perfectly honest. If they want to move it to the private or download the file and use it, go for it. We're not going to put ads in it. You know, we're not going to do anything like that.
Mark, I have a question. My name is John Noggle with Atlantis City of Peace. That's atlpeace.org. We're developing a nonprofit, and we have 18 on our board of directors, and some are in different states and countries. Can this be turned into like a virtual board of directors meeting?
Yeah, I mean, certainly you can use it as a conference call. I mean, that's what's underlying the technology is a voice over IP and a phone conference call. You can use it as that. The only thing we tell people, if you're putting sensitive information, if you wanted to find it on our system, you could find it. It's not obvious, but we don't have all the firewall issues. So if it's something that it's just you're talking and there's nothing, or you can not record it, obviously, then nobody can see it, or you can record it and download it and delete it. So you can do that. So there's ways around the idea of private versus public.
Well, to follow up, as a suggestion for a new product, maybe you could create the virtual board of directors service so that these nonprofits can meet their quorum regardless of where their members are.
Yeah, and again, there's lots of phone services you can do that. And by the way, since you mentioned nonprofits, I should say, and I forgot, There is going to be a 24-hour talkathon started at noon today on our service, and that's for a group called Kiva. And Kiva is an organization that does micro-lending to third world countries. And we basically had one of our users wanted to do it, so we've promoted it a little. I have some press releases up here. It's going to go from noon today until noon tomorrow, try to raise awareness and money for Kiva. So there's another use for it. You know, just...
Bobby Blackwell from All Games Radio again. Like I said, I've been doing what you've been calling live interactive podcasting for a while.
Right.
And when I started a year and a half ago, when I would tell people in podcasting communities what I did, they're like, "You're not a podcaster, sir. You're repurposing radio content."
Right.
Do you see that kind of changing? Like, are people now embracing being able to, you know, record the podcast live with listeners and then still putting it on the RSS feed?
To be perfectly honest, I don't think our users could care less if you call it a podcast or not.
Right.
They're doing a live thing, and it becomes a podcast that you can subscribe to. That's what it is. We happen to call it a live interactive podcast. Mm-hmm. Call it whatever you want. A podcast is always live at some point. It might be you in your living room, but it's live.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's the...
I remember it was hard to get into podcasting communities when I started because they're like, "You're not a podcaster. You're a radio guy. Go away. We're podcasters over here. You can't join our club." I'm like, "I have an RSS feed. Can I join?"
Okay.
Great.
This is just, we got all kinds of people using our stuff, politicians, sports guys, whatever. This is one of these things where we had no idea what people were going to do with it. To be perfectly honest, our thing started as a company that was going to be a little more along the lines of discussion groups, chat groups, book clubs, things like that. And then podcasting happened while the company was being founded, and we're like, whoa, there's an instant application for it. So naturally, all the derivative applications like conferencing and discussion groups and book clubs, yeah, sure. We have people doing book clubs. It's not a major application, but people are certainly doing it. The cost of everything I've said so far today is free. Yes. Now, the only thing that costs you is if somebody calls in on their telephone, it's whatever their telephone charges are. I mean, there's nothing. That's a cost we can't bear. That would definitely put us out of business. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Christopher Williams, Georgia Tech. I just was wondering, have you seen a lot of use for this? I know you're using it in your classes, but how about the educational community? Has this been shown to a lot of them, and what's the response?
You know, I mean, the reality of sort of new applications is we've tried to sell applications to people to do this. But what we found is people have to come to the conclusion on their own and then look for the tools to do it. So we've talked to university people, and generally you get all the things you expect to get. You know, what about security? What about intellectual property? What about this? What about that? Until one professor says, "Hey, I'll do it," which is what I'm doing. You know, and maybe somebody will see it at Carnegie Mellon and say, "Well, I'll do it too." Now, there are other ways, like there's iTunes U, which is a service that Apple's working with. But we haven't sort of sold it to a university, if you know what I mean.
Hi, Steve Ely with Escape Pod. I was curious, what would be like the 95th percentile audience size for a typical podcast, a typical successful podcast of yours that doesn't have like Leo Laporte in it?
Right. I would say that about 10% of the shows at most have more than 40 people, you know, give or take. That's a reasonable number. I actually have it on my computer. Does that include the subscribers, meaning the listeners?
Yeah.
No. If you included the listeners, it would be over 100, because a lot of the streamers, they're just, you know, we have the stats on streaming. I can tell you exactly. These are the stats that I can look at every day. That's every show. How many downloads, how many hours, how many streamed hours, how many listened hours, how many phone hours.
Yeah, but it's divided by number of episodes.
This is at the podcast level. We have it at the episode level. If you wanted to get it, we'd certainly give it to you. Okay.
My name's Amanda Stewart. I have a couple of websites, but actually conduct corporate trainings, software as well as group project management. And this is perfect for us. I mean, I'll start using it here at Emory immediately. And it's one of the best tools I've seen in a while for
this. The basic thing is you can do what we do with a lot of other programs. You can do it perhaps even a little better with a lot of other programs. It's just if you don't want to deal with all of that, and we host it, and we do the bandwidth, and we do the ads, it's sort of like, okay, it's good enough. And we certainly think it's a good, great system for using it ourselves. Yeah.
Barb Preppelman, Stone Media. Could you play a sample?
I can't. I've tried on the network, and I just haven't had any luck. But I can do it to you separately. The session's over now. I can try in the living room to pull up a call and listen. The limiting factor will be the crappy speakers in my PC.
Any other following questions? We can take one more question.
I'll be here the remainder of the day if people want to grab me. And again, just remind people about the Kiva 24-hour event. If you want to get on at the end of PodCamp all night, you can talk about Kiva, get on our service, play with it, learn about Kiva and things like that. So thanks very much for your time. I look forward to talking to you guys later.
The song you heard in this podcast was Garden by Cargo Cult, available only on Magnatune.com. Thanks for listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network. If you have recorded or are planning to record a discussion that you think would make a good episode of UnConcast, email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com to learn how you can submit it.